We'll see where. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Robert started it. It's his fault. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I hadn't thought about it till just now. The speaker actually spoke this verse yesterday, but that's not why I spoke it, because I wasn't thinking about that till just now. We have been in a moment for the last seven, this is day number eight, of denying ourselves. Moment of fasting, a moment of withholding, whatever it is. I've already had people, I had one today, I had one the other day, that have already began to tell me about ways that God is already answering prayers, and we're only 7 days in. There's something powerful. God does something when we're willing to deny ourselves. It's almost as if it looses his hands to do something that we're unable to give him the permission to do until we show him how serious we are about what it is that we're really after, what really is upon our heart. I'm so burdened by so many things that I see and hear that continue to come at me and at us as a church, and so many things that I see that I read this verse and I just say, okay, Lord, we're denying ourselves. We're doing it. And I promise you, there have been really easy days during this fast for me. There have been days where I couldn't have even told you hardly that I was on a fast. But there have been days where there was nothing I thought about more than something I wanted to eat. And if I got on social media, every other advertisement was something, some food of some kind. There was somebody that was cooking something or sharing a recipe or planning, talking about Thanksgiving already. I mean, there's so much food on my social media that I just know that my enemy has control over my social media, because he's coming at me every other advertisement. It's like, oh, hey, creamy chicken, so whatever, or cheesy hamburger, or whatever it is. It's just all kinds of crazy stuff. Things that I've never seen or heard of before. And it's coming at me right and left. I know that the Lord is in this time for this church because of how much I see my enemy coming at me and how much I have seen him coming after so many of us. I've seen it, and I see it, and I see it, and I see it. And I just cannot, I cannot get away from the fact that I see that what we're trying to do is exactly the type of thing that Jesus told his disciples to do. See, if you wish to come after me, he must deny himself. That's what we're doing. We're trying to go after him, and we're denying ourselves. And I'm not even thinking about the taking up the cross part yet. Like, I'm just trying to go after him, and to do it, I'm denying myself, because what I have found, and there's some things that I'm learning through this fast. I mean, there are things that I'm learning. Things I'm learning about him, things I'm learning about me, things I'm learning about spiritual things and physical things, and there are all kinds of things that I'm learning. And I'm growing through all of it. And I pray so sincerely that you're growing too. If you're denying yourself, I can promise you, you're growing. Now, my belt line's not growing, praise the Lord. Hadn't happened in a while. I took up a belt loop this week. Now, that's not why I'm doing it. It's just a byproduct, right? It's just a blessing that I had to take up a belt loop. This shirt fits a little looser than it would. Well, praise God. That's a blessing. That's not why I'm doing it. I continue to think about and feel that the more that I am, the less focused I am on how hungry I am, the more focused I get to what I'm praying about and what I'm looking for. And you know, honestly, I don't know that there's a single thing that I'm praying about that is anything to do with me. It's not like I'm praying for more of this or more of that. I'm just praying to be closer to Him and praying for all of these things, needs of the people in the church and needs of the church and the needs of friends and needs of family. I'm praying about so many different things, and I see that Jesus was trying to teach the disciples that, and I think it's something that we have underestimated the power in and the blessing in and the benefits in. And I hope, and my sincere, most sincere prayer is that through this time, that some of us, God, my prayer would be that all of us are learning that it's okay to deny yourself. I'm reading a book right now by Mark Batterson. And today, this morning, I was reading a chapter in that book, and he talked about, as a pastor, and let me make sure I'm going to try to get this right, what he wrote. He said he feels like, as a pastor, his job is to comfort the uncomfortable and to make the comfortable uncomfortable. Like, his job is to help those who need help, but his job also is to challenge those who are just comfortable where they are and how they are. Because sometimes we get to a place where life's good, everything's good, and we just, like, we'll just stay right there. Like, we call it, some of you have one in your house, probably mostly the man sits in it maybe, but we call it an easy chair, right? Why is it the easy chair? Because when you're sitting in it, everything's easy. Right? It's easy to sit in, hopefully easy to get out of. And it's soft and comfortable and feels good. It's the easy chair. And some of us would never leave the easy chair. Ever. Because it's easy. It's not challenging us. It's not making us change anything. It just feels good. And so if it feels good, that's where we're going to be and where we're going to stay. But I promise you, God has not called you to the easy chair. He hasn't. And I hope you understand that what I'm trying to tell you isn't. I'm winging it here, so I'm trying to tread. Trying to tread so softly. I'm not saying, hey, lazy, get up. I'm saying, deny yourself. I'm saying there's growth in denial. Stretching. There's something that happens when we're denying ourselves. We're learning. I'm learning about me. I'm learning that I've been way too dependent upon food. Way too dependent upon food. In fact, it's funny, there have been two or three people that I told just in conversation because something came up about food or whatever, and I said, well, I can't do that right now, I'm fasting. And two reactions I got this week were, what do you mean you're fasting? Well, we're fasting at church, and so I'm not eating. Okay, how long? I said, well, 21 days. He says, you're not eating for 21 days? said, well, that's my goal. That's what I'm shooting for. That's my hope, is to make 21 days. And they said, well, how long has it been? Well, the first conversation, I think it was 5, and the conversation I had yesterday was 7. You haven't eaten in 7 days? No, I haven't. I'll be honest, I have had some mints that I sucked on until they were disappearing. I didn't chew them, just put them in my mouth, and they stayed there till they disappeared. Chewed gum. Man, I'm chewing so much gum. Ooh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. In fact, we were at youth convention, and I dropped my pack of gum somewhere, and we were searching. We were on the lookout. Like, we were, ooh, man, we got to find the gum because Pastor Seth needs his gum because it's going to get real. Hey, when you're driving in a car with 4 teenage boys, okay, now listen, I'm gonna brag on them because all 4 of them are fasting something, and I didn't see any one of the 4 of them break their fast the whole time we're at youth conference. They brought food. They brought preparations. I mean, they were taking it now, and there was pizza Friday night, and a couple of them couldn't eat pizza. And a teenage boy and pizza, that goes together like peanut butter and jelly, right? I mean, that just, you know, you want to attract teenage boys, you bring pizza, right? That's the way it goes. And so a couple of them were like, oh, can I have? Oh, I can't have that. You kind of breathe through a little bit. But I saw with my own eyes how committed they were, and how I just can't tell you how much that blessed me. And I can't tell you how much I believe that those kids are growing through that. Because they're learning that there are things that they have depended upon that they don't need to depend upon. And that's one of the things I'm learning, is that I'm depending on some things that I don't need to depend on. And I pray that you hear that today, that there are things that we depend on that we do not need to depend on. You don't need that thing. Some of us are fasting social media, and I pray that by the end of it, maybe you delete social media. Because, oh man, if the devil's not in that, I don't know what he's in. Man, oh man. And I know we use it for good sometimes. I know lots of churches are on it, and I'm not saying we'll never do it. I'm just saying that, man, there is a lots of devils in that thing right there. More arguments started, more marital problems started, more relationships destroyed, more church problems created. I mean, it's just crazy to me how much the enemy is using social media at this time, and how much it's creating us to be more antisocial than it is social. Because we don't actually have to go see somebody. We can see them on Facebook, right? I don't have to go visit them. I can just look at their pictures on Facebook. They have people that comment on my stuff. I don't know who they are. Oh, it's so good to see your family. Oh, thanks. I don't know what to say. I don't know who you are or why you're commenting on my stuff. But I read this. I thought about this as we were closing up our worship time. And I thought about this verse, and I searched it up. You saw me, some of you probably saw me on my phone. I wasn't texting, I was searching Bible verses. And I just get to this, and I'm like, yeah, that's it right there. That's what I need to say today. Deny yourself if you want to go after him. You must. It's not, I love. Man, you could break down these things word by word sometimes. And I love that he doesn't use "you can" or "it would help" if you would deny yourself. He doesn't say, well, maybe if you deny yourself. He doesn't use those kind of words. He says, must. Like, this is a requirement. This is, if you want to go after me, you must deny yourself. He has called us to a life of denial. And I'm not saying a denial of him. I'm not saying a denial of circumstances. I'm saying that we have to get to the place where we are willing to be uncomfortable to draw closer to Him. Because there is so much less to be found in comfort when it comes to closeness to the Lord. So much less to be found when we're comfortable, when we're in the, when we got it set on cruise control, when it's just on repeat, you know? Same thing, different day, right? I've mentioned this, I know, before to some of you. One of the commercials I remember as a kid was, I think it was the Dunkin' Donuts guy. Time to make donuts. It's time to make donuts. And this commercial that I remember in it, and it stuck with me, and I've talked about this I don't know how many times, but there was this commercial where every day the guy would wake up and it was time to make the donuts, right? And this commercial is every day he's doing it, time to make donuts, time to make donuts. And then there's this one day where he wakes up, it's time to make donuts, and he goes to leave, and he meets himself at the door. One of them's coming in, the other one's going out. And it's like he was stuck in this routine so much that he forgot if he was coming or going. And I think sometimes we do church that way because it's Sunday. Why are you going to church? Because it's Sunday. Well, what if we did it for more than that? Like, what if we did it not just out of routine, but because we come to meet Him? Like, what if we stopped just doing it out of routine or obligation, but because we believe that we're going to have a moment where God's going to minister to a need, and so that's why we get to church, because when that's why we're going to church, then we start to look at other people, and we see their needs, and we know that what they need to do is to get in church. Because we know that when I go to church, God meets my needs. When I go to church, I get to be with Him. When I go to church, I feel His presence. When I go to church, I feel His Spirit. When I'm going to church, God meets me there. And when I'm going to church, He fills me to the utmost, to the overflow. Because when I go to church, I can say, oh, Psalm 23, my cup overflows. When I go to church... Like, and we have to look at other people that are in our lives and that we know and that we see and that we love and we care about, or people we don't even know. And we see their needs, and we have to get to that place where we know that what God is wanting me to do right now is to start to minister to that person, to see them go to church. Because, and not just... Not just go to church so that they sing some songs and yay, hallelujah, amen. But to go to church and to feel something different. That was the difference, in my opinion, the way I read the book of Acts. That was the difference between the church that got started in Acts 2 and the church that was in existence before then. Because the church that was in existence before Acts 2 was a church out of tradition and duty and time to make donuts, and it's time to go to temple, and we do this, and we pray this way, and we do this, and the rabbi comes out, and he's got the ching, ching tassels on with all the bells, and, you know, that's what church was. You know, praise God, I don't have to wear tassels and bells. Thank you, Jesus. And then Acts 2, God started something different, because He saw that the traditions and the things that were there before had become, to borrow a phrase from my friend Bill, they had become sacred cows, and He killed a whole bunch of sacred cows at one time with the creation of the church in Acts 2. So we're not going to do things that way anymore. We're not going to do things just out of tradition. We're going to do things out of the Spirit. We're going to do things because that's what God's called us to do. We're going to do things because those are the things that God is speaking to us and blessing us with. And if you listen, if you read, if you study the life of the disciples, they lived a life of denial. Like everywhere. You find Paul writing in prison. And if you've ever seen one of the cells that Paul was, that they believe Paul was in, it's like this big, right? He was not standing up or laying in a bed. He was in a carved out place in stone where he could fit, and that's about it. And that's where he wrote some of the epistles what were written, where he could barely move, but yet he was writing. Or he could barely move, but he was talking to somebody and they were writing down everything he said. Some of the letters that he wrote from prison were written by him. They were spoken by him and written by someone else because he couldn't see in the dark, because he was he hadn't eaten very well, and so you could see his bones and he was struggling, but yet he wrote. Here, let me find this verse because I almost preached this today. I'm going to find it for you real quick. Because he wrote this verse, and when he wrote this verse from prison, you just go, how do you write that from prison? Philippians 4:11 says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." He says, I've learned to be content no matter what happens. They beat me, I'm content. They feed me, I'm content. They starve me, I'm content. I get water, I'm content. I don't have water, I'm content. We get to this place where we just want to be so comfortable, and I just know with everything inside of me that it's okay for us to be uncomfortable. And that we grow when we're uncomfortable. If you left church today and you went to someplace and you worked out, like you got on a machine or you got under a barbell and you started lifting weights, tomorrow you're going to be uncomfortable. But you're also going to be stronger. And if you do it again, even in your discomfort, you'll get even stronger. And if you'll do it again, even in your discomfort, you'll get stronger. Jesus said, you must deny yourself. And I'm figuring out that certain things were crutches for me. Certain things were things that I was leaning on and relying on that I didn't need to rely on or lean on. And it's becoming to the place where it's not even, some days it doesn't even feel like denial, because I almost forget that I even used to. Because I've grown. See, my hope is that we're growing spiritually. Because I believe with all of my heart that the church that is going to be, in a very short period of time, the most attractive to this world is not a church with the best lights or the loudest sound or the coolest this or the coolest that. But we're coming to a place that the church that is going to be the most attractive to the world is the church that carries the very presence of Almighty God. That the church that speaks His word unashamedly, that the church that abides in His presence is going to be the most attractive to anyone that wants to know the Lord. And that will win more souls than lights and cameras and action and sound and cool and all of that. And we're becoming that church. But it's taking some denial on our part for us to become that, for us to grow closer to Him. You must deny yourself. We must catch a hold of this. We absolutely, unashamedly, unabashedly have to catch hold of the fact that we have to be willing to deny ourselves. Because sometimes it's going to take us denying something for ourselves to give it to someone else. Because when we become the people who are willing to give up something of our own to give it to someone else as a blessing or to fill a need or just to show them the love of God, it changes a relationship between that person. I'll forever remember, and I know I believe I've spoken it before, but I can remember handing a guy a silly little plastic sandwich container shaped like a piece of bread that had Wonder on the side of it because he thought it was cool, and I was working with him, and he said, "That's really cool." I said, "Here, take it." And he was like, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, here, have it. I have others." "Well, I don't want to take your..." "Dude, it's fine. Just take it." He was so blown away that somebody would just hand him something like that. Like, well, generosity just blows people's minds. Because we do not live in the most generous, giving world. But when you're willing to deny something from yourself to give it to someone else, that's Jesus-like right there. So I'm going to close this service with prayer. I'm going to pray over every one of you. That the denial will not feel like a curse, but a blessing. That whatever you're denying yourself, that you will see. I know some of you have already seen. I've heard it from you, from your lips. Absolutely. Some of you have already seen God move in the things that you're praying about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of us haven't. Some of us are getting through some of it. As Rochelle and I talked a little bit, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, sometimes second by second. But I'm going to pray that you will feel blessed as you deny yourself, and that you will feel closer to Him. I promise you, in the last 7, now 8 days, I have personally felt closer to Him every single day. And that's my prayer for you. So, Heavenly Father, I come to you knowing, Lord, that I've been in your presence. God, that I remain in your presence. That, Father, you have moved in such a way, Lord, that I personally cannot deny that you've been here. And Father, I ask right now, and Lord, I'm going to go name by name. God, I pray, Carolyn, Byron, Frank, for Tammy, and Trudy, and Hayden, and Keithan, and Seth. Oh, Lord God, for Rochelle and Curtis. Lord God, even little Rebel, Father. Lord, I pray for Robert, Julie, and Sarah. For Shoba. For Dure, even for Rithvin, Lord. For Joanne. For Becky. For Stephen. For Bill. For Ruby. For Frida. Oh my God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. That as we are all denying ourselves, whatever it is that we're denying ourselves, God, for Jacob, for Alyssa, for Jay, for Dexter, Lord. Anyone else who's taking part in the fast that's not even here today, God. As we're denying ourselves, we're nearer to you, Lord. And that, God, you're preparing us for the moments that are coming, and you're making a way, Lord, in all of the things that we're asking, that we're seeking, that we're praying about. God, you're making the way right now. Whatever it is, whether it's healing, God, whether it's blessing, whether it's financial problems, whether it's marital problems, relationship with issues, Lord, whatever it is, even for the church, God, for our buildings and for direction and the future and all of those things, God, I just pray that we're nearer and nearer to the answers and to seeing how you've made a way in all of those things, Lord, and that you are bringing about the answers for each of us. And that as we get answers, God, we're nearer to you. As we get the answers, we know, God, it's just strengthening our faith. We're getting stronger in our faith as you're answering our prayers. God, we're getting stronger in our faith in you. That our trust in you is growing infinitely day by day. And Father, I pray that as we continue to come together and to meet, oh Lord, that you continue to transform us into the church that this community needs. A church that seeks you first. And the church that's just so full of your presence, God. Oh Lord, I thank you. And I praise you. Oh Lord, bless us as we leave here. Keep us and guide us. Oh God. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for being here.